It's about now that we always have our little history of eating segment. Jackie Newling, she's a gastronomer and food historian, and she joins me on the phone. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, last time we spoke about leading up into World War II, let's have a little bit of chat about the post-war period.
Yeah, so we're sort of heading towards the 1950s. And most of us, I think, associate that period with the sort of mass immigration that we experienced from Europe. And that was definitely happening. But that didn't necessarily influence our diets yet. That was still yet to come.
Oh, okay.
But interestingly, the shift that I see from that time is, you know, we wanted to put the war behind us. The war had been, you know, it had been tragic, it had been tough going, the Depression, you know, the whole of the first half of the 20th century was really, you know, a struggle for most people. And so you get this idea of, you know, a little bit like happened at the turn of the century when they were looking into the new century, this sort of idea of this new way of living, there has to be a better way. And so Australians started to be far more influenced by, started looking towards America for inspiration, and instead of to Britain.
Okay.
So that idea of the whole sort of empire thing was, yes, they'd won the war, but it had been, you know, a long time coming. They it was the Americans that sort of finally stepped in and seemed to get things happening quickly, and it was sort of the guiding light.
What sort of an influence did that have on us in terms of what we ate and how we ate?
We were influenced by, for example, coffee drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, where Australia had been very much part of that British tea kind of tradition for a good 150 years, probably 200 years, you start seeing coffee coming into the menu. So it was always there, but it was usually sort of an after-dinner thing or, you know, a gentlemanly sort of thing that you did when you were out. Now it became really hip. So you start seeing, you know, coffee on the table for breakfast again, which hadn't happened for quite a long time. You start seeing people being discerning about coffee because instant coffee had been around, I guess, through the war years. So that was what you drank at home. But
yeah,
Now people were being urged to drink real coffee. And, you know, it was quite a, you know, we didn't have our plungers or our little espresso machines yet. You know, there's instructions in a book I've got here saying, you know, that you have to wrap your coffee in a muslin bag and pop it into a saucepan of water, but you mustn't let it boil, you know, all that sort of thing. So it was quite a rigmarole in a way.
That's amazing, because I would have assumed that coffee culture would have come out of European migration, but not instead it was more the American influence.
Well, you accused me last week of being a bit of a cynic. I think that's when good coffee happened.
Very good point.
But the trend for coffee drinking. So, you know, you start to see, you know, and that sort of shows, that reflects our society. We're sort of loosening those apron strings from the mother country. That whole idea of the mother country is starting to slip, and people are looking for sort of, you know, a more modern life. You know, all the foods that had been rationed for so long were now totally disparaged. They were just off the menu. So things like tongue and rabbit and corned beef, they were just...
You wouldn't touch them, no.
And people wanted steak, and they were starting to have French fries instead of chips. So it's really quite interesting how strongly that sort of American vibe was creeping in. And technology was changing as well. So, you know, gas had come through, but now, you know, everybody had electricity. You started having refrigerators instead of ice boxes. The ice man no longer came around with his ice. People had fridges, so that meant that you could have you could store food for longer. You could sort of plan differently. You didn't have to go to the shops every day. So our actual sort of rhythm of life was changing. That idea of sort of convenience was really kicking in. And you also had the baby boom. So you had a lot of mums at home sort of trying to make the perfect house, being the perfect hostess.
So a lot of dinner parties, I'm guessing.
Yes, dinner parties, lunch parties.
Lunch parties, wow.
You still might have to be thrifty. You look at the 1950s magazines and there's, you know, how to sort of revamp your dress. People are making clothes at home, that sort of thing. But yes, food was somewhere where you could, you know, really, really trick up cakes with fancy icing and, you know, really lay it on.
That's amazing. So, I mean, I got to admit, I was thinking before when you said the rise of technology and especially the refrigerator, that sort of time period in America I associate with the beginning of the prepackaged foods, the TV dinners and things like that. Were we seeing that over here?
That really didn't start happening. I guess that really came into train probably more significantly in the 60s.
Right.
So, yes, it was. People were aware of it. We got television in 1956 and that added to that whole Americanization, I suppose, of our ideals of what lifestyle, because, you know, they were sort of leading the advertising, the brands, the images, all that sort of thing was coming through. So, you know, that's when we started getting American chain, fast food chains, like I think Kentucky Fried came in the late 1950s.
Wow. Okay.
So that whole idea of fast food was kicking in with television, and the frozen food thing, you know, came in as well. So people now had a freezer in their house, so you could have food, you know, ice cream anytime you wanted, instead of it being a sort of special occasion thing.
And just quickly, Jackie, is this the kind of time period that we saw milk bars starting to crop up on Aussie corners? I mean, it's kind of when I think of it as.
Well, we've certainly got that image of that happening in the 1950s because of Happy Days, I suppose.
Yes.
You know, that whole kind of what I call the peachy keen American thing, the 50s thing, it was starting to come in. There were Greek milk bars, you know, probably a lot earlier than that, Greek. From the 1930s and 1940s, that they were still selling very Australian-style foods. That Happy Daisy sort of milk bar was pretty edgy if you found one in the 50s. That was more, you know, that came afterwards.
All right. Jackie, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk about this.